afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. And everyone, today we're actually going off the planet because we're going to be talking about gardening by the moon.
Nicely said, Selena. Like that. Yes.
Okay, what did we find out about gardening by the moon?
What didn't we find out is more the question. Well, gardening by the moon has actually been practiced through the ages, as far back as the ancient Egyptians. The Maori people used it as well. They caught they used a lunar calendar called the
Maramataka.
Maramataka.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they used, and they followed the moon quite closely as well. So it's been around a while, guys. And the reason why gardeners use the moon to aid them with their gardening practices is to do with the fact that the moon has a strong gravitational pull. So just as it controls the tides, it also controls moisture in the soil and also the sap in the plants, and it influences how quickly seeds germinate and plants grow. And I believe it also influences people as well.
Yeah, I can definitely believe that.
I go a bit mad on the full moon. And my animals do too. I don't know, maybe it's, I don't know if it's the light and they see it, but they get really high energy, and they will often, I don't see them for a few days. They're just out and about.
Yeah. I reckon it's because the moon reflects the light from the sun, and that light can influence and, affect us. So when plants are growing by sunlight, but at night time, the brightest light would be the moon, right? And that does...
Well, there is, isn't there some, what do they call that, there's a system in your, is it your eyes or something, that, or your brain, that is affected by the light?
Circadian rhythms.
And all that,
yeah.
There's something chemically affected by the amount of light. And us, so yeah. But anyway, back to gardening.
Yes.
So how it works is that you've got the first two quarters, which are called the waxing moon. And waxing means increasing light. So you can have a waxing crescent or a waxing gibbous.
Waxing crescent, if you imagine the moon as a circle, when it's new, there's no light. And when it goes further along around the Earth, you see more and more and more until it becomes a full moon, which is like a big circle.
And then, from that point on, it becomes the waning moon as the light gradually decreases.
Yes, so
it goes back to
reverse, like it'll look like a crescent
But the opposite way.
Yeah, opposite way.
I've never really looked. Have you looked that closely at the passage of the moon?
Well, my dad is a sort of amateur astronomer, and he's always talking about it, but often I don't really notice because I'm not really looking at the sky.
I think I'm going to pay more attention now after doing this.
Yeah.
I know that back in the... Well, I read a story based in the Ice Age, and often in the story that they would, the shamans, each tribe would have like their elder that would, you know, heal, give them healing and spiritual guidance and that kind of thing. And part of their training was they had to sit out every night without sleeping and had to take note on their, I suppose they had stones or wood or whatever, and etch where the moon was at and the sun was at. Where the sun set and all that, and where the moon was every night for the cycle of all that. I think a year,
okay.
I guess, if you wanted to see the full change.
Yeah.
That's how seriously they would take the movement of our planetary systems.
Well, for those of us who are female, we do follow that cycle.
That's true.
Every month.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, blame it on the full moon. I'm not taking any responsibility. Right. Very, very powerful force for all of us and our gardeners too.
Okay, so when it's waxing, what are the activities that we can look at in our gardens?
Okay, so let's start with quite often people that are, you know, big on the lunar gardening thing.
Mm.
And by the way, listeners, it's not just for hippies. This is a science, so, you know, let's try and keep an open mind here. And I'm actually going to try. I've never personally followed the
I've
moon
started.
With my garden, but I'm going to start after doing this.
Yeah.
So let's start with, say, new moon. So during the new moon, there is a strong gravitational pull and the light is beginning to increase. And it is recommended, I don't know what you found, but I found the best time to plant green leafy crops.
Yep, I got that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And seeds sown during this period have high rates of germination, apparently.
Yep.
And I would say that is because, would that have to do with...
the sap rising and the moon pulling the water up with the tides and everything. So everything's getting fuller, everything's being drawn up out of the soil towards the light. So things you want to, well, plants you want to transplant, to sow, anything that's got leafy growth.
And also if you want to start some seedlings, because if you want a high germination rate, that would be a good thing to do as well.
Yeah.
And did you get anything else? Or?
Yes, also prune to increase growth. So when you prune and you want your plants to be more bushy, that's the time to prune.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, which is good because that brings us into the first quarter, and that is when the moon, it looks like it's in half.
Yeah.
The waxing first quarter.
Yeah.
We're not talking about rugby. They do quarters? Oh, no, that's halves. Sorry, netball. Netball does quarters. So these periods, so it's the waxing moon, when the moonlight becomes stronger, but the gravitational pull becomes less.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a time of stronger sap flow in plants, apparently.
Yep.
Which I would have thought that would have been when the gravitational pull was... Oh, maybe they were just talking about waxing in general.
Yeah.
The waxing moon. I don't know. Please feel free to send in emails and correct if you need to, listeners. Honestly, this is a science where we struggle a bit with this, like most people. Anyway, for this reason, you know how you mentioned the pruning recommendations before?
Yeah.
This is a time not to prune because there could be high sap run.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And that can cause dieback. They also say this is a time to plant out most seedlings, especially crops with seeds inside.
Mm-hmm. Also to concentrate on flowers and fruit at this time.
Mm-hmm.
All the above ground growth.
Yeah.
That's what I've found out.
Okay. And then moving on to the full moon. During the full moon stage, the light begins to decrease slightly. Well, it's like light is greatest at the full moon, but as soon as it hits full moon, boom, starts to decrease.
Yeah.
So you get that little, and the sap in the plant starts to flow downwards. Did you get that?
Yeah.
It's the best time to sow and plant all root vegetables.
Yep.
As this is a period of good root growth.
And bulbs, your bulbs, flowering bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
Also a good time to plant them.
Yep.
And then if you're pruning to decrease growth, so you're wanting to cut back and not have it grow again, that's a good time to prune.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then heading into the last quarter, when the moon light becomes really weak and the gravitational pull becomes less too. So the gravitational pull obviously starts off strong. Does that sound right? And
mm-hmm.
then as it goes through the cycle, lessens.
Yeah.
Hmm. And this is a time when the sap is flowing downwards.
Yeah.
Because the gravitational pull is lessening. It's a time for rest. Avoid seed sowing. So you want to do that, as we mentioned, when that's the new moon. And it's a good time to prune, transplant and harvest.
I've got that it's a good time to cultivate the soil, like mm-hmm. lay your mulch on, compost and all that kind of thing.
Awesome. So that's basically that is the basics of it, isn't it?
Yeah, in a nutshell.
I think it just goes to show that there's a lot to it, and I would recommend, after reading an article from the Taranaki News, can I share a bit from that, Selena?
Yeah,
go ahead. A lady by the name of Jeanette Ansley, she's a long-time New Plymouth gardener. She picked up a lunar calendar years ago when she was at the gardening centre, and it's one of those rotating ones.
Yes. Yeah. I think they're very good to help
us. I want one.
Yeah, so do I.
It's going to happen. Yeah, I don't know where we should have researched where to get them, but I'm sure they'll be available. They wouldn't be hard to find. Just go and ask at your local gardening centre.
Yeah, have a hunt round.
And she has since then sworn by the effectiveness of the natural method. And this is a woman that's been gardening for quite some time. She looks like she'd be retired by a picture. Now she looks to the sky as well as the ground, and she says, I have bigger and better produce, she says. And she said for years she had trouble growing carrots, but she doesn't now. She said she only used to get little fingers, and now they're a good size, and the only thing she changed was she started gardening by the moon. Really interesting. Her husband wasn't quite so big on the moon gardening.
Right.
So they did a little bit of a competition in the gardening, and they were into Swedes. Have you eaten Swede before?
No,
I've heard it mentioned quite a bit lately, and I don't know what it is. Is it like a potato? I don't know.
It's like a root crop, turnip or something like that.
Yeah. So they had their Swedes, and it's in the same garden, but his was on, obviously, in a different area. And she planted hers according to the lunar calendar, mm-hmm. and he did his as per usual. And both patches were very, the soil was really good, filled with fish offal, she said. So everything was the same. And she said, but her Swedes, when they started coming through, the leaves were way bigger and bushier than her husband's. And she said to him, I told him it was the wrong time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like working with nature.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. And what she does is she resets her lunar calendar. So it's like, you know, one of those circular ones that mm-hmm. you can... I've seen them online and, yeah, pretty... Yeah. And she'll reset that near the start of each calendar month by checking the full moon date. So you can just do that online.
Mm-hmm.
Or in those days, I think she'd just check the paper with all that stuff. And then she would turn the dial accordingly. And she said her lunar calendar helps her determine her gardening program for the rest of the month, which I think is a wonderful addition to any gardener.
Yeah.
And she says, if the day is nice, I'll look at it and think, what can I do today? And she said, sometimes, I tell you, when I plant things at the right time, their growth is so quick. And this is an experienced gardener. And I don't, she doesn't seem like it. Sort of fairy hippie or anything. There's a picture.
Seems like
soul to the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like that song, To Everything Is a Season, that we always play.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, don't put your plants that don't want to grow when they don't want to grow.
There's a time for sowing, a time for reaping.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
That's right. So did you have anything you wanted to add to that little article
I found? Well, a lot of gardeners who garden by the moon come under the umbrella of biodynamic gardening.
Yep.
And so if you wanted to find out more, you can Google biodynamic gardening.
What does that mean?
Well, basically it's about gardening by the moon cycle and other organic practices. And so that's one of their core practices is to do that.
Oh.
So they're a bit more into it than the ordinary.
Apparently, my studies pointed me in the direction that people also garden by the zodiacs as well.
Mm. Well, I don't know if I will check the paper for those star signs to see what I
can. Well, not so much like that, but like where there was, I read something in the, oh, what's that magazine I read, Selena? NZ Organic.
Yeah.
That one. And there was a man in there that was talking about how he runs a farm, and he's always followed the zodiacs in terms of where the planets are, because he said he reckons it affects the weather patterns on the Earth.
Oh, well, that's what the Māori people do when they're just been celebrating Matariki for, you know, however long they've been living in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And that was when their planting season started. So they knew when Matariki or the Pleiades appeared in the sky, they knew that it was time to, you know, start again and, you know, get their crops in before the winter and then start afresh. And looking at the sky, checking to see if those stars are there, it does vary from the North Island to the South, because it's such a long country that if you go further down the south, you might not actually see Matariki rise. So they have other stars that they look for at time. So it does depend on where you are on the hemisphere. So
yeah. So anyway, this farmer guy that I was like reading about in this, he does like hay making, and he reckons he can predict using the zodiacs 6 months in advance when to cut his hay, and he doesn't reckon he's had wet hay for about never happens.
Wow.
It's been just that reliable.
Well, there must be.
I would have loved to have had that conversation with my dad, who was a farmer.
Dad, you're doing it wrong. I can't
it's
imagine.
It's not in Pisces. You're doing it wrong.
What he would have
you're
said.
You're not thinking.
When the moon is in the seventh house. Okay.
So he said, I think early. Oh, sorry. I was talking about another person when I said that. The South Island New Zealand Gardener columnist Robert Gayton. Am I saying that right? I don't think I am, am I? Robert Gayton?
I would say Gayton.
Gayton, okay. Robert Gayton, he's also something of a moon planting expert, and he believes that early agriculturalists used it because if their harvest didn't work, they died.
Well, that's putting it bluntly.
So he said those old ideas from the bedrock form the bedrock of a lot of what we do now.
I think in today's fast-paced world, people sort of forget the seasons and don't really follow what's happening around them.
Yeah.
And think, oh, well, I can just get it from anywhere and just do anything.
Yeah. Well, it has become a bit like that with all this. You know, we can plant indoors now, and we can create our own atmospheres, you know, to grow our produce. And, yeah, it's all become very controlled, hasn't it, for a lot of people, a lot of places.
Well, and then you think about why do people plant, like, tomatoes in greenhouses, and then you can have it out of season, and they're sort of trying to control the environment. But they don't taste as good. It's the tomatoes that you can plant outside that are ripened by the sun.
That's so true.
Yeah, they just...
That's so true. And I've noticed that, and so has my son, who is particular when it comes to food. But one of the vegetables or fruits, I should say, that he does enjoy is cherry tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that we can get down on without too much of a fuss. And we'll even put them in his lunchbox. But lately he's like, they're yuck. But I'm trying to explain to him that it's actually like a summer produce.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they don't taste as delicious, is because they're actually out of season.
Yeah.
And it is, it's quite noticeable, isn't it, when you do taste them. I mean, they're still, I'll still eat them, they're still yum, but I mean, yeah, he really is like, oh, it's not the same.
To me, they taste sort of watery.
Yeah. It's interesting. So it just brings about how, like you say, I'm a firm believer in just going with the seasons and eating what is in season, growing what is in season, planting, because that's how it was meant to be. That's how, you know, our ecosystem was designed. Mm. That's how it works. So just go with it. And the moon is just one of those elements to pay attention to.
Okay, everyone. So gardeners, just go with the flow.
Well, should we give them a bit of a heads up on what they could do this week?
Yes, that'd be handy.
Okay. Did you find anything on that?
I think I'll let you explain.
Okay. So, right. So it will be, it'll be about the third quarter. So that is when the moon is starting to, third quarter, yeah. When the moon is waning. So we've just gone past the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, gardeners, this is what you need to be doing right now. Pay attention. Get your pen out.
Okay.
All right. You need to pull out your compost crops. So those are things like lupins. What okay. other things do you put in there? You know, all that kind of thing.
What?
I'm thinking when it says that, those crops that you grow to put nitrogen in your soil.
Green manures.
Yeah.
So
that's how I interpreted that.
Yep.
And prepare your beds ready for spring planting.
Okay.
Okay. Continue taking care of your seedlings. Prepare and plant, if you're interested, asparagus beds and kumara beds. I like asparagus and I like kumara, so.
Oh, okay.
That's it. I'm ripping up half my lawn. Okay. It's happening. That's right. That's what the community garden's for.
Oh, okay. Yes.
We still haven't got kumara in there.
Need to.
Yep. I know. Good time to plant your citrus if you want to get some citrus growing. And also to mulch all your young trees before the grass is competing for moisture and nutrients. Because we're heading into spring, then summer, and yeah.
Okay.
The grass will begin. We've already had to mow our lawns.
Yeah.
Just recently.
Okay.
So yeah, it's coming back. And then, of course, when it starts getting really hot again, you won't need to mow your lawns or worry about grass too much.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, but that mulching. So those are the things I got that you need to focus on if you want. That's according to the moon calendar.
Excellent.
For sort of late September.
Okay, I'm writing this down. And Karen, one good thing about the moon calendar is for those who don't have much garden but you have lawn, there are certain times to mow your lawn.
Oh, really?
So if you want it to grow fuller, mow it when it is waxing.
Okay.
And if you want it to be short, mow it when it's waning, while the moon is waning.
Running wild, lost control. Running wild, mighty bold. Feeling gay, reckless too. Carefree mind all the time, never blue. Always going, don't know where. Always showing, I don't care. Don't love nobody. It's not worthwhile. Running wild.
Ah, thank you, Marilyn Monroe. But are we going to let our lawns run wild, Karen?
Well, it does tend to happen where I live from time to time, I'm afraid. But I hear there is an option. What's that, Selena?
Well, you can always dig up your lawn and plant wildflowers.
All right, do it. Your landlord will love you for it. cool, I love that. They're doing it down on the southern motorways there heading out of Auckland. Have you seen those wildflowers?
I haven't been down that way lately, but it sounds
wonderful. It's beautiful. They've filled up, you know, all those strips sort of down the centre.
Yeah.
With wildflowers and to the side as well, I think.
That's so cool.
I haven't been south for a while, but someone told me, a colleague, that they are still there, and there's actually problems because people are actually stopping and pulling over and going and
picking
collecting
the flowers.
Flowers.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I can imagine for the council workers, it's a bit of a relief not to always have to mow those strips right in the middle of the motorway.
Exactly. Just let them be, and they look gorgeous. Yeah, they do. They look really pretty. Do you have any recommendations there for, like, easy-growing wildflowers or what to do?
Yeah, so I've actually done a bit of an experiment for my own garden.
Oh, for real?
Down the side of the house where there's a strip that used to be lawn.
Yeah.
And I've dug it over.
Yeah.
And so now there's no grass. I've just turned the graft tubes over. Dad doesn't have to mow it, hooray.
Yeah.
And I'm going to turn it into a wildflower strip.
Oh, garden. Was that strip along your fence line there?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And how's that going?
Well, so far nothing's been coming up yet, but I've scattered a lot of wildflower seeds.
So when did you do that?
The other week.
See, that might be a little early, do you think? Yeah. I don't know.
I think I should have waited a bit later till it's a bit warmer. But anyway...
Yeah. Okay.
Gardeners, just get ready for spring is going to come.
It's about that time, though. Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah. So I might do another sowing
later.
Yeah,
exactly. If they don't come up, try sowing some more. Do you just sprinkle them on?
Yeah. So the tip is to, when you've dug over and you've got soil there and it's bare, just wait for a couple of weeks and get the weeds out first. Mm. You want to weed it out first,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe wait another few more weeks and get the more weeds out. Don't dig it over too deeply, otherwise you get the deeper weed seeds coming up.
Oh, okay.
And compost and mulch, add a lot of that just to get, I don't know, just to get improve the drainage. If it's clay, I would recommend to add some gypsum just to get the air into the soil.
Yeah.
Fork it over. Mm. And then...
can you apply seeds direct, like say you've chucked that gypsum in and you can pretty much work with the soil thereafter?
I think you can... A good thing to do is to, if you're having a mix of wildflower seeds, mix it with a bit of sand to get the... it's just as a, what do you call it, an aggregate to help you sow it.
Yeah.
And then maybe sprinkle...
And spread them a bit. Yeah. More as well, yeah.
Sprinkle some seed raising mix on the top instead of, they don't require a lot of coverage, like burying, because a lot of them will just germinate.
Okay.
Like that. But you could rake it. But you don't have to be so perfect with your...
Hey, Selena, maybe the next batch you do, New Moon.
Yes, I should have... Yeah. I didn't...
We need to get one of those...
Yeah, we need to get
things,
those maramataka things. So those wildflower seed mixes you can buy just at your garden centre. Some of them come in big, big packets. So
okay.
Just a mixture of flowers in
and
there.
And they're not too expensive? They're one of the cheaper flowers? Okay, cool.
So annuals and perennials, things like poppies and cornflowers and that kind of thing.
Nice. I think they've got a lot of cornflowers next to the motorway there, a lot of blue.
Yeah. So... Listeners, I recommend you just trying out your wildflowers.
Okay, I'm going to give that a shot because I actually got some seeds from a colleague at work.
Oh, yes.
From, what did she give me here? Become a member of Butterflies and Moths in New Zealand. I think it's a group. And apparently wildflowers are big for attracting butterflies.
Excellent.
I've got lots of nectar. So she gave me this pamphlet. Moths and Butterflies of New Zealand Trust.
And very good for those bees and butterflies, good for pollination.
Check that out, guys. I've got these cute little packets that look like butterflies. Ooh. I'm going to do that. I'm waiting for the new moon, Selena.
All right.
I'm excited.
Okay, gardeners, get into it. Get your moon calendars and
absolutely
get into sowing some wildflowers.
Awesome. Okay, see you later, everyone.
Bye. Happy gardening. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.